the record show that the Hess meeting was convened at 3:03 on April 10th, 2008, and that the representatives present were Representative Cisna, Representative Keller, Representative Gardner, and myself, Representative Wilson. We do have a quorum to conduct business, and I'd like to recognize the staff today. It's Kelly Burnett is our recording secretary over there. Chris Fannin is our LIO monitor. Becky Rooney is my committee aide. And before we start, if you have cell phones, please turn them off, even to vibrate. Not vibrate doesn't work because it interferes with our electricity, our electronics over here. With as Rep. Hawker would say, the percussion band over here has problems. And today we have before Senate Bill 170, and let the record show that Representative Fairclough has joined us. And the bill that we have before us is insurance coverage for well baby exams. And Trevor Fulton from Lethal McGuire's office is here, and Senator McGuire is on her way. So I understand. Right now we have version CS, and it's version V. So that's the version we have to work for. So Senator McGuire, if you will come forward and take a seat. And before we get started, let the record show that Representative Roses has joined us. So, Senator McGuire, if you would like to tell us about your bill and explain it.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members of the House Hess Committee. I just came off the floor. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. A chance to talk about well babies. The bill started out as a mandatory coverage bill, which many of you are familiar with. In the past, we have had colorectal cancer screening as an example, diabetes. Those are two that come to mind, where the legislature has said that those health policies are so important to the legislature that they felt it important enough to require insurance companies that issue insurance or write policies in the state to go ahead and include them. The bill is a compromise position that was reached in working with, frankly, the small business folks, NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses. They pointed out that by requiring the coverage, the mandated coverage as opposed to an offering, which is what the bill does now, that we might be unfairly burdening some of the small businesses out there. So what we did is we did an offering, which is very similar to what we have in state law for vision, eye care, and it's a pretty good example. Not everybody has eye problems within a healthcare plan, so the other members of the plan aren't forced to absorb or subsidize the costs of the person sitting next to you that might not have as good a vision as you. However, in the state of Alaska, insurance companies are required to offer something for vision. They could offer something that reflects the true costs. They can offer a rider. They could offer a Cadillac plan, a separate plan. There are many ways that insurance companies can accommodate mandatory offerings. So what this bill would do is put care for newborns to two-year-olds, so 0 to 24 months of life, the well baby exams that are defined by and a part of routine pediatric care, for newborns. They include your inoculations, which incidentally, an irony I found in all this is that we require them by state law. We require children to be vaccinated at regular points in time. So the well baby exam includes those. It also includes professional medical assessments of the newborn to 24-month-old's health, development, nutrition. It's an opportunity to screen children for signs of neglect and malnutrition and abuse, and in some cases it's an opportunity to simply strengthen a family unit and help parents who are anxious. I can remember in Grayson's, one of his first well baby exams, breastfeeding wasn't working out the way that I thought that it was going to, not to get too personal, but in that first week, and it was an opportunity for the pediatrician and I to talk about what we could do to supplement his nutrition. And frankly, without that face-to-face meeting, I don't know that I would have reached out to someone or known. And so the bill is a mandated offering. Again, the department has come back, it should be in your packet, with examples of how it could be accommodated. I do want to mention that I think what will be exciting, 70% of companies offer well-being coverage already. They have decided not only that it's good morale building for the people within their plans that have families and support families, but they've also decided that it's good business. And there are a lot of really interesting reports out there about what preventative care in general, but preventative care for newborn to 24 months of life will do in terms of actual savings. And is that written here? Okay. So when the bill was up in the other body's finance committee a while back, we got a call, I guess it was the next day, from the administration, and they had been looking at the issue of well baby exams for our state plan, the Primera plan that we had, and they made the decision to go ahead and include them. And so that was an exciting moment. They incorporated us and our thoughts into that process. And what pushed them over the edge, what made that decision for them, is that they did a Buck consultant study, and in that study, they looked at a variety of things, but most specifically, they looked at what is called the National Business Group on Health's report about well-child exams. And what they found, this is also in your packet, is that Medicaid-enrolled children who are up to date on their well-child checkups through 2 years of age are 48% less likely to experience an avoidable hospitalization. And as we know, Madam Chair, as you know and others, those hospitalizations are the very, very expensive part of healthcare when you have to get into the emergency room and be hospitalized. Children with incomplete care are 60% more likely in general to visit an emergency department as compared to children who are up to date on their routine well-child exams. Routine childhood immunizations return $4.30 in direct medical cost savings for every $1 that's invested. That's a pretty good figure. Infant vision screening saved reduced disability treatment costs. Newborn hearing screenings, which is also another part of our statutes, again, has also been deemed very cost-effective and also a quality of life issue for those that were caught early on within those first 6 months of life. It's an opportunity to get a child on a path to learning. And so those are just some of the business parts. Different committee members approach this bill from different perspectives, but I just simply wanted to give you some of the reasons that I think it's also not only a good health bill, but a good business issue as well. And so I commend it to the members. There is a committee substitute for you, which I did not want to have a committee substitute. However, I am accommodating a concern about a definition that came in on page 1, line 2 of the original bill that came out of my body. A healthcare professional defined physician, nurse, physician's assistant, but also include the term health aide. And what we have found is that in an absurdity, which we would not want, those 70% of companies that are already offering well-child exams would have to go back and reissue their policies if we don't make this change to include the term health aide. And so clearly that would not be my intent to put that kind of onerous burden. I've tried to be as accommodating as I can through the process, and so I'd commend the committee substitute to the committee.
Okay, and we have version V in front of us, and that's the one that we'll work from today. And Representative Sisson, I had a question.
I actually did have a question, and then I looked through the packet and found Buck Consultants and the numbers you were talking about. Thank you very much for putting this in here. It's good information.
Appreciate it. Okay. Representative Gardner.
Thank you, and thank you very much for bringing this bill forward. I think it's really an important bill and part of what the state needs to do in transitioning how we look at healthcare. The citizens of the state, not just government. My question, I don't know if it's for you or maybe for Linda Hall, but it has to do with the Well Baby, that's what's it called, State of Alaska Select Benefits Well Baby Analysis Information, and I'm just struck by Aetna's estimated cost of $118 per member per month compared to Primera's at $3 per member per month, and maybe their terms are varied or maybe one's not as current as the other. It can wait if... Okay.
You know, that, if I might, through the chair, Representative Gardner, first of all, thank you for your comments. And sometimes we just drill down into a bill and forget the 35,000-foot viewpoint, which is just what you said. It's raising awareness about prevention and how that can be incorporated into our community and how we think about things. Secondly, as to your question, those documents were provided to me by the Commissioner of Administration, of the Department of Administration and the Division of Retirement and Benefits. And Pat is here, and I think might be able to speak to that.
Okay. Okay, Pat, do you want to come forward? And would you please move version B for us?
I would happy to do that. Madam Chair, I would move House CS3S Senate Bill 170 version V as our working document.
Okay. Hearing no objection, so we have version V before us. And Pat Shriver has come up for the department, and would you like to make did you hear what Representative Gardner mentioned?
Madam Chairman, for the record, my name is Pat Shire. I'm the Division Director for the Department of Administration, Division of Retirement and Benefits. And I did hear the question, and you're referring, I'll hold up the sheet, I think it was page 3.
Yes.
That showed a difference. I can't speak specifically about the number that Aetna came up with, which was a little older number, and the Primera number. Probably more effectively than to refer you to the first page of the Primera or the Buck Consultants document, looks like this one in your packet. And our consultant specifically states the return on investment coverage for fairly nonspecific well baby care pre and postnatal is difficult to scientifically quantify. And there's a good reason for that. We have not gathered data on people who stayed away and people who came in. We've had to depend on information, as mentioned in the bullets that the senator sponsor here mentioned, Medicaid-enrolled children. They have that coverage, so we can go in and compare them to other groups of kids that don't have this coverage. I am not particularly concerned about the Aetna $1.18 to the Primera $3. I'm more interested in what Buck estimated for us, which was 25 cents per member per month cost, and even doubling that at 50 cents per member per month, just to be safe. They still tell us that they're confident that we will see a significant return on investment.
I'm thinking of a specific instance that I'm familiar with. Where the baby was born in the hospital. A doctor was there. Everything seemed to be okay and everything. Mother went home, did not have insurance, and so she didn't keep her six-week well baby checkup with the doctor. And probably, I would say, maybe at 8 weeks, she might have went to the public health nurse. And when the public health nurse checked with the baby, they found that there was a heart condition that hadn't showed up right away at birth. And this child, since that time, has probably had 4 heart surgeries. But if it wouldn't have been picked up when it was, that child might not be here anymore. And so... Who knows? I mean, we don't know what will become of it. And lots of times, they find things that they can fix right away and say, "Oh, well, we're going to do this or whatever," and it's taken care of right away. So I would imagine that we all know that if we can catch things before they get worse, that you save money, you know, in the long run. So, any other questions from the committee? Okay, well, there was, and I did get a chance to talk with the Department of Insurance, and they really said that they were, she's here if anybody has questions, but they kind of are neutral with this. right, Representative Gardner and then Representative Roses.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you're ready for amendments, I think we need to offer an amendment to version V that inserts on page 1, line 12, the word after means the words health aid.
No.
They took out. That's the other way around.
Yeah.
CS already took it out.
Yes.
It was the opposite.
Here was the sentence.
I see. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm backwards. Never mind. I withdraw that.
We do have one person online. If the members have no more questions, Debbie Golden, with the Department of Public Health.
Yes, Madam Chair. This is Debbie Golden. I'm a perinatal nurse consultant with Women's, Children's, and Family Health in the Alaska Division of Public Health. We support this bill in favor of mandatory well-child visits for children birth to 2 years of age. And I want to say first that the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Academy of Family Practice Physicians recommend a schedule of routine visits that coincide with developmental milestones that are expected from the time a child is born up through their teenage years. This includes a physical exam, dental, hearing, vision, and weight screening, and is an opportunity not only to detect physical health problems, but also, as has been mentioned, signs of physical abuse, mental health issues, and bonding issues. It's a tremendous opportunity for healthcare providers to offer guidance for parents at a time when they are hopefully not worried and focused on a child's illness, but can think about issues like healthy development and their role in helping to nurture that. There's a lot of important changes going on in the first 2 years of a child's life, and many of these problems, if not caught, like was just being said, can become bigger problems. And in particular, because of the importance of growth and development in the first 2 years, it's of ultimate importance that these problems are picked up and that kids are referred to and receive the intervention that they need, hopefully before entry into kindergarten. That this can include, besides the physical health problems, can include problems related to speech and language, learning disabilities, mental retardation, or emotional and behavioral disturbances. Unfortunately, only about 20-30% of children with these disabilities do get diagnosed and start treatment before kindergarten. And one of the reasons it's so important that this happens is because there's evidence to show that children who do get identified and go into some kind of treatment by kindergarten are more likely to graduate from high school. They're more likely to enter and stay in the workforce, more likely to avoid teenage pregnancy, delinquency, and violent crime. And in looking at cost savings around the issue of these kinds of behavioral and developmental kinds of problems, the research shows that for every $1 spent on early intervention, $13 is saved later. So, I know we're not talking specifically about early intervention, but we're talking about what has to happen, before any of the treatment can actually happen, of course. There's also research that shows, kind of reiterating a similar point, that kids who don't get their well-child visits in the first 6 months of life are more likely to go to the emergency room. 16% of ER visits of children are for non-urgent reasons, which we know is really expensive and unnecessary. And that children who have well child care at a pediatric medical home are 73% less likely to use the emergency department. So there's all sorts of reasons, including economic reasons, of course, why well-child care in the early years is important. One of the big causes of mortality in children is unintentional injuries. And this is another area where well-child care can dramatically impact the health of children. Unintentional injury is the leading cause of death for children ages 1 to 4 years old. And 41% of the cause of death nationally for children ages 5 to 9. So we know that that unintentional injury is a huge risk for children, and we also know from studies done that children whose parents receive injury prevention counseling from the 0 to 4 year old time frame during their well child clinic appointment or well child doctor appointment saves about $800 per child or $80 per visit, which ends up estimating a $230 million per year savings in medical expenses for injuries that don't happen.
Okay, thank you, Debbie, very much. We really appreciate it. And we are trying to work on this bill, and we appreciate your testimony.
Sure, thank you for the opportunity. Okay. We support this bill.
Thank you. Representative Cisna?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to ask if, in fact, Debbie, and I'm not remembering her last name, I'm sorry.
Holden.
If your testimony, Debbie Holden, is available in print, because the facts you give are, I think, very good information.
Yes, they certainly are available, and I can email or fax them wherever they need to go.
Okay, if you could send them to my office, Debbie, that would be wonderful. And then I'll make sure that the committee members each get it.
Thank you.
I will do that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you,
Madam Chair.
And the commissioner has indicated to me that she wants to come up and say something, so would you like to come forward?
You deserve it.
I always think you're the head of insurance, so.
Right. And actually, in most states, that is a commissioner. Well, that's irrelevant. Linda Hall, Director of the Division of Insurance. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This will be very short. And the chair expressed my kind of non-position on this bill. I do want to say that I am not opposed to well baby care. What I would like to put on the record is something that most of you have heard me say in one fashion or another. When we look at health insurance mandates, and I am pleased that the sponsor of the bill made this a mandatory offer as opposed to a mandate, we have in the studies that we've done approximately 350,000 Alaskans covered in some type of private insurance plan. That doesn't include Medicare and Medicaid and various plans like that. And only about 150,000 of those plans are actually regulated by the Division of Insurance and actually are impacted by the various mandates and offers that are included in Title 21, which is the title we have oversight of. So I always try to make a point that when we have a mandate for a benefit, when we offer for a benefit, that does not mean that the other 200,000 people covered in the insurance market are actually going to be impacted by the decisions that you make as a policy. A large self-insured group has oversight through the federal government and ERISA. We get a lot of consumer complaints from those plans, and the only thing we can do is refer them to the Department of Labor in Seattle, which isn't a very good outcome, frankly. But I do like to say that just so that there is an awareness that when we do the kinds of things in Title 21 as policy decisions about coverages, whether they're offers or whether they're mandates, there's still a limited group that this will apply to. I think Director Shire was just up here, and I think this is a really good move to see that the Select Benefits Plan is working toward this kind of coverage, because it is important. But I also think there are other policy calls that do need to be in the record. And with that, that's all I have to say. Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Any question? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay. That's all that we have, so I'm going to close testimony. Was there anyone else in here that wanted to testify? Okay. I'm going to close testimony. And what are the wishes of the committee? Representative Roses.
I would move the House CS for CS for Senate Bill number 170, version V, with individual recommendations and a zero attached fiscal note.
Notes.
Yes, notes.
All right. Hearing no objection, so moved. And we will adjourn this meeting. Thank you much.